What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of She Were They With Kittens. I'm Kittens, and today I've got my special friend, Kehlani, on the show with me. I'm so excited. We go way back, and she's been trying to get on the show for a while. You guys have been yelling at me to get her on the show for a while, so we finally made it happen. I'm so excited to share this with you, because today's episode, we really get in depth with Kehlani's whole journey, transformation, evolution of their identity. We talk about music, TV shows, inspiration, creativity, growth, healing, things that they want to do moving forward in the future, some other interesting little bits that they haven't talked about before. And we're going to get into a pretty in-depth analysis of the L Word because she recently just binge watched it. So make sure you stay tuned for the whole episode coming up right now. Before we get into it, though, make sure that you like and subscribe and turn on the notifications and click all the things and push all the buttons, and make sure you check us out on Instagram at SheHerThey. Also, if you want to check out our Discord, that is on the website as well. It's www.SheHerThey.me. There's links for all the things on there, including the playlist, which if you have not checked that out, that is the whole reason we started the show. I don't know why I'm saying we, it's literally me, but go check that out as well. And yeah, let's get into it.
Just a reminder that since language around identity is very nuanced and ever-evolving, some terms here may become outdated. This is meant to be a safe and inclusive space, so I'm going to do my best to constantly learn and stay on top of changes.
Am I recording? Yes. Hi, so good to have you. I'm so excited. I know.
We've been talking about this for a while, and I'm just glad we finally got to get it done.
Yeah, same. I'm so excited. So for anyone who somehow does not know who you are, can you go ahead and introduce yourself however you like to introduce yourself and include your pronouns in there?
My name is Kehlani. My pronouns are she, they. I'm a singer, songwriter, director, mommy. There we go.
A little bit of everything. Yeah, I feel like the last year, so many people have kind of talked about and explored pronoun related mm-hmm. stuff so much more than I feel like ever before.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because I feel like before it was very like, well, I identify as like this, so I need to use these pronouns and this is what it means. And now it seems like for everybody, we're all able to use whatever pronouns align with us, and it might mean something different for everybody. So what does she, they kind of align with for you? Like, why are you more comfortable using that at this point in time?
I think I'm actually closer to the they, them spectrum of it, but there's a lot of parts of like the womanhood that I grew up identifying with that I still heavily resonate with, that I still honor, not in like a cis ass heteronormative ass way, but like there's still parts that I connect to that I feel like resonate with the she. And they, I just feel like I've always been like very, very, very fluid energetically. Like I've always had like a heavy masculine energy, but also been very soft, but then had very feminine moments. And just like I've always kind of, you know, went around and changed a bunch. And I feel like all of that is encompassed in the they. And it just feels comfortable because it just doesn't come with these like restrictions that sometimes have always popped up in the back of my head that I felt like, Do I like this? Do I feel like this? Like, is this what I like? Is this what I want to wear? Is this, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah. I feel like you've like really kind of like blossomed in the last, I want to say year and a half on so many levels, but like, as far as your gender identity and your sexuality, sexual orientation, how you mm-hmm. identify, how you present yourself in the world as an artist, as a person, as a creature in life, you really kind of switch things up. And I think you really seem so at peace. And I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with, like struggle with finding their truth and having the courage to live that truth.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get there? Was there like a breaking point where you're like, you know what, I'm fucking tired of like whatever life I'm living right now and I want to change it?
Yeah.
Like, what was that process for you?
Well, I came out as bisexual when I was in the ninth grade. I had my first girlfriend in ninth grade. Then I had a lot of boyfriends. I had a lot of boyfriends up until last year. Yeah, I had, you know, I was talking to men this year. And I kept going through these instances where, like, I was realizing I wasn't feeling that deeply. And that the things I were feeling could be identified as, like, I want to save them, or I want to help them, or, like, we really get along. Or these things that when I started getting into therapy and I was breaking down, like, what does love mean to me? And what is the feeling of love? And what is the feeling of, like, being in love with somebody? And I realized that none of the things that I felt with the men I had been with were going into that category, but I could easily go into that with women. I could easily be like, oh man, like this girl makes me, like this girl, blah, 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 you know what I'm saying? And not only that, but sexually, I had so many issues with men that I just was like, I think I'm supposed to like this more. Or I think I'm supposed, the way I like having sex with girls, and like then I have sex with a guy and I just don't like this. I'm waiting for it to be over.
Like forcing it.
I do the things in sex that like I feel like I'm supposed to do, but like I don't enjoy them, but I do them because I'm like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. We about to get it cracking, I'm about to be good at it, But it wasn't like, it didn't make me feel like how sex with women made me feel. And then I started realizing, man, nothing in this feels like how I feel about women. And that was when it clicked. And my therapist literally straight up asked me, like, you ever thought that maybe you might just be gay? Like, you might just be gay.
Don't be so simple.
Yeah. And like, then she brought up and showed me like, what is that called? Compulsory heterosexuality. And I was like, what? I had so much to process. There's this Google Doc that has all these links that's like how to know if you're being compulsory heterosexual. Like, and I checked off every single box. Like, this is me. Like, is it because I didn't have my parents and I'm trying to recreate this mom and dad thing? Like, is it, all these levels of things that I just was like, well, this explains it, you know?
Damn. So you were like kind of pressuring yourself to be a good performer, even in your love life.
I think I was just trying to it even goes into like, it goes deep into like having came up in an era where I kind of like trailblazed in a sense for my generation of like what being an artist that wasn't like the super packaged looking type of girl. And then when I got clowned a lot on the internet for like being super heavily tatted and being like not wearing hella makeup and like looking really masculine or like not looking as like femmy and sexy. And then, and then me dealing with all that kind of pivoted me for a couple years into like being overly feminine, overly sexy and overly this, because I had gotten ridiculed so deeply for so much of it. And then once I like, it hit me that I was performing so hard because I had been bullied. I was like, oh, you got to get this out of here. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that played into my sexuality for sure.
That makes so much sense. It's like, I mean, everything I think in life, in normal life, like performer life, public figure, public facing shit aside.
Yeah.
We have all these narratives that we're given in life that you're supposed to go this way with your career and your identity and your romantic life. And you're supposed to like find your prince charming and be the princess and be the nice wife and take care of the this and then that. And it's like, for anybody, that's already hard.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult to come to terms with the fact that you're maybe like not on that road for that little, you know, fantasy story.
Right.
And you're taking all these detours and it's like, what the fuck? Who am I? Am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? Am I, you know, all these questions come up and right. I'm sure it's just so much harder when your life is under a microscope. So it's like that times a million.
Like I remember like I would publicly be with a girl. Or I put out a song about a girl after people had seen me with a guy. It could have been my last public boyfriend could have been 3-4 years ago. And people would be like, isn't she with so-and-so? And I'm like, man, that was 3 years ago, but y'all gonna bring it up. And the comments are like, she's so confused. She doesn't know what she like. Every time the Shade Room has posted me, the comments are like, this girl is so crazy. She's always so confused. She never knows what she wants. What is wrong with her? Like, da 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 da. So yeah, I've seen it on like a super high level scale.
I mean, there's no room for exploration and for trial and error and
right.
trying things on and, or just being fluid period. Even if you know, like you like everything and you want to just, you know, go yeah. with what feels right in the moment. They feel like so much of society, as much as we've progressed, it's still people, their brains can't comprehend. They're like, right. no, this isn't the story. This isn't the box that everything's right. supposed to be in. That's all nice and neat and tidy. Like what the fuck?
Right.
And it almost like, I think it challenges people's intelligence. Mm-hmm. And people don't like to feel stupid.
Yeah.
So they want to make it your problem. They want to make it your fault. Like, she's too crazy. She's doesn't know what she wants. She doesn't know this, that. And it's like, no, you're just stupid.
Right.
Like, you haven't taken the time to educate yourself.
Right.
Or be compassionate or understanding about anything. So that's on them. So you think that, like, out of everything, therapy helped you the most? Or, like, what any other little things you've done that have kind of helped the blossoming?
I've been on a really intense spiritual journey. I can't like give too many details about it, but yeah. it's been a really intense, very long, very committed, very disciplined journey in which in the beginning I was told like this next period of time, you're going to be really discovering what femininity means to you. And you're going to, I remember the specific words were, now you think it's about your outsides. Like you think you equate that you have understood and worked with your femininity enough because you can turn it on and off on the outside, but you're about to learn in this next period of time, like what that means to you, what that means to you in dealing with women, what that means to you with women in your family, what that means to you with your feminine expression. I feel softer than I've ever felt in my life. And I equate that with like divine feminine. I equate that with like feminine energy. I feel the softest in my life. And to me, I look the most masculine that I've ever looked in my life as well. So I've learned a lot about
that. Why do you think that is? Where do you think that contrast came in? Like when you were presenting more feminine, did you feel more masculine inside and there was kind of shift? Or?
I think that it's not that I even felt masculine. It's that I feel like, right, I've been looking a lot into like what energies and feelings that people put under feminine and masculine, right? When you think about like the masculine energy and the feminine, and it's like soft and like guarded and strong, like, you know, these things. Yeah. And I think that I felt so uncomfortable a lot of times in my femininity. Like I can remember countless shoots where like they put me in something and I'm like taking a bunch of terrible photos, wasting everybody's time. And then like an hour later, they put me in pants and like, now I can pose and now I can sit down. Now I can.
I'm the fucking same.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, I look like I'm an uncomfortable little kid in drag the first time. Like, why do you have me in this little dress? No.
And you can see it. You can go back and physically see it. Like when I've been on tours where they've put me in like a really, like my boobs are all out or like, I hate associating it with clothing because it's not a clothing thing, but those were in periods of time when I was thought I was expressing femininity, is when I was allowing myself to be dressed and choosing to be dressed, quite frankly, in a lot of like really sexy, like feminine sexy stuff. And I just was really horribly uncomfortable, which I think made me really like, but I think now that I'm comfortable and like now I'm like expressing how I want in how I look, that I'm definitely like just soft and open and fluid and just like, you can feel like I'm exhaling for once, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that being uncomfortable before in those more feminine presenting things, traditionally feminine clothing or whatever, do you think it was also more uncomfortable because that usually brings on, it's like, what am I trying to say here?
Like,
because
male attention?
It's male gazy. It's like a man's idea of what femininity is that you're performing.
Yeah. So maybe I mean, it's funny because when I first came out, like when I first came out in music, I was super tomboy. Like I was just as tomboy as I am right now, probably.
Yeah.
Didn't do makeup at all. Didn't ever get my nails done. Like covered in piercings, would literally just wear sweatpants all the time. I had a woman that was my first stylist that would dress me. She kept me very tomboy. And then I had a lot of male stylists after that, that, you know, I think that their idea of me was, and granted, I love all of them to pieces. You know what I mean? And they have taken all the times I've had a change and been like, you know what? I don't really want to wear this or I don't want to do this. They've taken it very well. But I did have a couple years vividly, whether it was maybe 2 years ago, like 2019, 2020-ish, and maybe 2018, I think I had definitely been in this. I started wearing colored wigs and like all, I got my breasts done. You know what I mean? I literally did all these things that have now been reversed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That now I don't do that. Now I wouldn't touch. I don't have boobs anymore. This is my first time. This is my first time saying it publicly, y'all. I took my titties out with my breast implants, health reasons, which I'll explain, you know, whenever. Oh, yeah. But I feel so good. And I feel like definitely that had everything to do with it. Now, if boys look at me, I'm like.
No, I mean, you can really like feel it and see it. You seem so much more free and at peace. And I think that's such an important thing for people to see, that you don't have to shove yourself into the molds and the boxes and all the fucking tiny constrained things that we're told to be as humans. It's fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. It makes you miserable. And then it makes everyone else miserable. It's like, what's the point? What's the point of this?
Exactly.
What's the point?
Exactly.
What parts and pieces of yourself did you feel like you had to like let go to find peace in yourself?
Definitely the compulsory heterosexual part. I also had to let go. Oh man, I cannot even express the depth. I mean, I was able to break through all of it in therapy, but the weight of how much my career and the public eye had to do with all the changes and self-applied pressures that I had dealt with over the years, like just everything, little things to large things to mental health crises to like just all these things. And I feel like that there was this part of me that was seriously locked in on like what people thought of me, because people have been perceiving me publicly in a very massive way since I was like 17 years, 16 really, because I was on a TV show at 16 mm-hmm. years old, looking completely different. If you Google photos of me when I was 16 on a national television competition show, I had a mohawk and I was wearing glasses. You couldn't see. I mean, I wasn't wearing in the video, but the next episode I'm wearing glasses. Which, mind you,
everybody looks different at 16. I had a mullet and a scene cut, and I looked fucking insane at 16. But thank God it wasn't documented and scrutinized.
And that's what I'm saying. I had
crazy in private.
I had already dealt with the entire. There was a rumor that I was a trans boy.
Oh wow!
I was 16, because of how tomboyish and I was like. You know, I was just like a little boy, you know, without being a little boy on TV. And so coming from that, I had been dealing with being perceived since I was young. So all the way through now, I'm 26. I have just years and years and years of, you have to let go of what people think about you because it's going to control your life to work through. And I'm just now at, you know, just turned 26, but maybe end of 25 into 26 fully being, and I think coming out as a lesbian was the last thing I had to do to be like, oh, I'm really, I don't give a, can I cuss?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what none of y'all think, because y'all have ran my life since I was 16 years old, you know? And a lot of people commend me on being like, oh, she's so unapologetically herself and like, look at them, look at da-da-da-da, like they're doing so good and they've always been vulnerable and honest. And I'm like, yo, like I might have been vulnerable and honest, but like I have been going through it since I was little, you know? So that was what I think I had to let go of the most, was, you know, separating how I feel about myself from how millions and millions of strangers feel about me.
I mean, that's again, that's something that's hard to do, even just as a non-public celebrity, artist, whatever, mm-hmm. like just as some random person in a small town who doesn't even have any kind of public presence in that way on the internet or whatever. That's so hard to do, to separate yourself from what other people see you as and what other people perceive you as and what they put on you and what they project on you. So yeah, that's huge. And also it's so interesting because I always say this, and it's every time somebody tells me a story, I'm like, there it is again, the quarter life. I call it a quarter life crisis, but it's when you're 25 and coming out of it, there's always this huge fucking shift that happens.
Yo, seriously.
And it's some curveball life throws at you and it like punches you in the face and you have to pause and be like, mm-hmm. What the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Who am I? Let me come to terms with it. And then you kind of, everything about you crumbles. You have a little ego death moment and you have to kind of rebuild from there.
Really?
And I saw that therapist yawn and just tried to hold it.
Yo, I tried. Mom life.
But really, I feel you. But yeah, no, that's, it's really a big deal. And I'm glad you got out on the other side of it okay and
are
in this beautiful place. But actually, I wanted to talk to you about when your whole like coming out thing, but you were already out. So I still, when I saw all this press everywhere, people being like, Kaylani comes out as a lesbian. I'm like, duh. Like,
you know what? Because I had told you. So for those who are watching, we're real friends. We're real friends. It's like, we go back. We actually went on a date once, but we're meant to be friends.
a nice little ice cream peer moment.
And we met that crazy guy who gave us his crazy metaphorical story about the ocean that I think about all the time. Do you remember that?
I forgot about that.
So we're sitting there, we're looking at, I'm going to tell the story. We're sitting at the pier on the benches. And this guy sitting next to us, and I don't want to call him crazy. I take that back. Like, he was just doing his thing. And he's looking at the ocean, and he's like, everybody's too busy looking that way. Like, any of that over there matters. And he's pointing back to the pier and, like, the city. And he's like, and people just keep missing all of this. And he shows the ocean. And I just was like, whoa.
So like, deep.
That so is deep. Intense. Like, that was so real. But yeah, so we went on a date, but I was
like good gays. We're able to be friends after.
Yeah, all gays, you know? All of them, hopefully. I mean, or we end up like the L word, you know, which we'll get to.
We'll get into that.
But you knew, because I told you, because we keep up with each other, on, especially on this tip, because I've always been like coming to new terms about this every so often. I thought I came out a year and a half ago. And then I was like, okay, maybe no, yeah, I'm bi, yeah, like. And then I was like, okay, no, I got it this time, like, I get it. And the coming out was so funny because I already came to terms with it with everybody in my personal life and, like, friends and family. Mm-hmm. And we were on an Instagram Live with my homegirl. And there was like 20 people on the live. And because she's my friend, like some of my like core fan base follows her. And I got on the live. And mind you, I hadn't even been on Instagram Live in about 6-7 months because I just been taking a break from just like being on there 24/7. And I unfollowed everybody so that I wouldn't be scrolling. Like I just was off Instagram for real. And they were like, Kaylani, what's new? And I was like, well, I finally know I'm a lesbian. I didn't think nothing of it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't plan on having this massive, like, I didn't want it to seem like it was a publicity stunt. Like, I was never planning on doing this rollout or this, like,
no,
y'all, I just making a post about it. But it took its own life. And next thing I know, I think a fan took that clip and put it on the internet and it just, like, avalanched. And next thing I know, I'm waking up and there's articles and I'm getting, we got Them Magazine on the phone for you and they want to ask you about coming out as a lesbian. Oh yeah, People Magazine. I'm like, I never wanted this.
And but it's so crazy too, because like you've always been very openly like
queer.
Sapphic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's not news.
Right.
That's not news.
But, right.
So it's so interesting because it was almost treated as if you were like the straightest person in the universe came out and said they were gay.
That's why I didn't think it was that big of a deal to say it on the live.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because very few people come out as lesbians now. I feel like everyone is much more like
queer.
Fluid or pan or queer and it's much, you know, more open in that way. So maybe it was the label that they were like, oh my God, we haven't heard this in a while.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of crazy to have that, even though it was like you've already been out, it still was kind of a coming out moment that was sort of like taken from you. in a way. So if you could go back and that didn't happen, how would you go about it? Or would you, would you just be living your life as is, or would you make a statement, or I don't know.
You know what? I think that I thought when it first happened, I did want to go hide in the shell. Cause I prefer attention for what I do for a living versus my personal changes in my life. But when I look back on it and I think of how many people have approached me and been like, it means a lot to me that you had the courage to do that, quote unquote, or like, it means a lot to me that you're choosing to publicly identify with the word lesbian because words matter versus like having just decided to just be queer. I don't regret it. You know what I mean? I don't think I'd do it a different way. I think because I feel like any other way would have been unnatural. Any other way would have been planned. Any other way would have been like a rollout or like something that just was corny. Like this was really me. I literally have a pot in my hand and an apron on and I'm like cooking. My friend's like, Kaylani, they want to know what's up with you. And I literally lean over with this pot in my hand and I'm like, well, I know I'm a lesbian, you know, like it was really just like, so honestly, everything happens how it should. So I wouldn't trip.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't like traumatizing at least.
Oh, no.
You were well received.
I was startled for sure. Just because I have trauma with going viral, and anytime I'm viral, negatively or positively, yeah. I'm rattled the same way. So,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
That's got to be really scary. I mean, shit, your like phone is blowing up, but that's done. We're settled now. Settled and grounded. Mm-hmm. So aside from that, you've always been really like inclusive in your music. You have songs about same gender love and, you know, songs about women and stuff like that. So do you think now that you are even more settled in your identity and sexuality and gender and all that, do you feel like your creative process will be any different, or has it always kind of been this inclusive situation?
The thing is I've never been intentionally inclusive or like in, like it was never my intention. Like I never sat down and was like, I don't have a song about girls on this album. I need to, like, every single song I've ever written, you can trace back to who it's about, because that's how I write. I have to be inspired to make music. Every single song is traced back to an actual human that I've had an experience with. There's a girl from First Position. There's a girl from Honey. There's a girl from Nights Like This that, well, you know, I was able to apply it after because we wrote it with other people, but there's a girl from Escape. There's like every single song, you know, there is somebody. So if I'm in love with a girl, there will be girl love songs. If a girl breaks my heart, there will be a girl broke my heart song. You know what I'm saying? So I think definitely now that I'm settled into my identity, there will probably only be girl songs because that's what I'm experiencing. And I write 99.9% about relationships and love because it's the biggest emotion and most versatile emotion and most relatable thing that music could ever be about. I mean, it's why I ever got inspired to make music. I grew up listening to love songs and singing love songs, and it's why I make them. So yeah, I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, no, that was great. Who from your like childhood artists that you loved would you love to collaborate with now if you could go back?
If I could go back, man. You know, I really love NDIRE. I say it all the time. But when I think back of like songs that lyrically literally gave me words that I use in everyday life, or like mentalities or like mantras that I use in everyday life. And I think of like Little Things by NDIRE, and I'm just like, yo, like that's going to remind me that like no matter how far I get in this, like don't lose my head. I think of Video and I'm like, I don't have to look like the perfect package that like everybody, you know, portrays that we have to look like. Just she always gave the most incredible self-love and like healing music. And I was raised on that. So I think that impacts who I am as a person today. And so I would definitely want to go back and collaborate.
I love that. I would love to hear that also.
It would be great. It'd be so much fun. She knows I love her.
put that back out in the universe. Yeah. If you could actually go talk to your younger self too, I feel like this is a question that gets asked all the time. So you've probably been asked this before, but just in case no one's heard your answer to it or you haven't been asked this, if you could go back and talk to your younger self, let's say 12, let's say before like puberty got crazy and like life got crazy and things change, if you could go back and talk to like 12-year-old Kehlani, what would you tell her?
I would say a couple things. One, I would say you're not even going to like boys when you're an adult, so like don't even waste your time right now. Like it's gonna save you so many problems. Even when you get older and you get all cracking in your career, like boys are gonna cause you problems in your career, so just like leave them alone now at 12.
Skip it,
you know, skip it. Two, I think it's that there are gonna be a lot of challenges. And you're just going to have to know that you're going to be able to overcome every single one of them and take them to the chin. Because I think when I was younger, I had always been the type of person who like went through things. And like I had a really tumultuous childhood and came in the world a really tumultuous way and always took things to the chin and just like kept going and kept going. But at 12, I didn't know half. If I had known half of all the things that I've been through now would have happened to me, I would have been at 12 like, I'm still alive. You know what I mean? Like I chose to still be alive. And also just that there's going to be a lot of no's, but there's going to be so many yeses. You know what I mean? Like there's going to be so many yeses, and that goes for in the spiritual sense, that goes for in your romantic life, that goes for my career, that goes for everything. And just like, you're going to be happy someday. Like you're going to be genuinely happy. You're going to have the family that you always wanted. Your family is going to be healing. You're going to be healing. You're going to be healing from things you went through before you were 12. You're going to have the opportunity to make a difference in your parents' life. You're going to retire your mom. You know what I mean? So I think that would make me a little more level-headed as a teenager.
Yeah. A little bit more less stressed out. I mean, you've done so many incredible things already, and like especially in the last few years of like everything you talked about and your healing and growth and all that. And you've got like a beautiful daughter and a beautiful home, and like your career is popping. Like you've got all the things. Mm-hmm. So
thank you.
If you could pick like three goals, one for career, one for personal life, one for like mental, spiritual, whatever healing, what would those three goals now be moving forward?
My career, I want to direct a movie and I want to direct a TV show. I mean, that's just my direction.
I have that on here to ask you. I'm like, are you going to do that?
Those are my directing career goals. As far as music, I want to be a successful independent artist one day. So I want to eventually you know, I love my record label to death. There's no shade, but I want to know what that feels like to like be out of like complete my record contract fulfillments and requirements. And I want to see what that feels like to release a project independently after I've completed my, you know, requirements with my label. Because I think about like all the things I've done in music, and sometimes I forget that I've done that many things, and then I can't imagine like what more could I possibly do that would really fulfill me. Because a lot of the things that people would say in these answers, like I think about and I'm like, do that really matter to me specifically? No, I'm a type of person who has to impress myself with like how hard I worked, or if it took me up a journey and that like taught me something. So like a lot of accolades, like I don't know how to answer with like accolades, because a lot of those I'm just like, I know what goes into those, and I know the game that is played with that world. So like, I don't really have goals in that area. In my spiritual and mental, I think you said my goals, I want to be able to bring children and their parents together to heal, because mm-hmm. I just think people don't understand. It's so easy to accept the trauma that happens in our families, and it just can be so dark that it just is like, I can't do it. I'm never doing this again. But almost every ceremony on the face of this earth from almost every culture imitates the womb. It imitates birth. It imitates, you know what I mean? Like, the most spiritual thing we've ever done was be born. You know what I mean? So this innate mm-hmm. connection that we have to our bloodline, to our family, like we talk ancestors and ancestors and ancestors, right? But how do we get from them is our mothers. You know right. what I mean? Our womb, mothers, fathers, line. Birthing people. You know what I mean? We got it from our birthing line. So I would love to be able to bring parents and kids together for like generational healing and just like open the floor conversations. Cause it sucks when it's too late, you know?
Yeah. No, that's beautiful and so necessary. I feel like there's not as many resources focused on that.
There's not. I mean, I think it becomes one of those things where people write it off because they feel like no matter what, we're related. So like one day it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if we hate each other, we still blood. So like, that's enough.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, we should really try to figure this shit out because we all we got for real. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Goals for my personal life. You know, what's a trip is I thought about this the other day. I don't think I ever believed in marriage until I came out. And I think a personal goal of mine is I want to get married someday.
That's cute. What do you think changed that? Like, why did that shift for you?
I think also as I was with men, I was always having this thought in my head of like, something is going to come along and make me feel better. So I would all like my relationship.
I don't want to be stuck with you.
Right. No, I hate to say it, but like my relationships would end and I would be like, and they'd be quick. And I would be like, well, yeah, because that's easy. Like something is, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really feel like with women, I haven't been very seriously with many women because I've gotten too deep and it scared me. And I've been like, oh, we're going to be friends. Yeah. But, but when I have, it's been very like, damn, this is the realest shit in my life. And I would literally like, it changes me as a person. And I think that I feel like I'm at the point where I want that and I could do that and I could be that for myself and somebody. So yeah, I never planned on saying that out loud either. But you know what? It's you. I'm talking to my friend. They could judge me if they want to. I'm a sucker. Yeah.
No, that's so beautiful. And like, I feel like I can resonate with that because I grew up with like really messy divorce parent life. And all of my relationships have been like fucking 2 seconds long or toxic hell where I'm just like, I don't think I could ever do this. And having something that's healthy and that helps you heal and helps you see, that everything isn't miserable and toxic and painful can really open your eyes and show you that there's possibilities for all that beautiful shit that comes with a union and that long-term commitment, even if it's not marriage, just that.
Union. Right. Cause I still don't know if I fuck with the paperwork or like the Jesus part. Cause you know what? I'm ordained. I don't mind. I have a very special relationship with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But the whole, I would want it to be like a very nuanced, very progressive, very like tailored to us type of, I just want a ceremony and like matching jewelry and a party with my friends and like a pinky promise that we do in this life shit, you know?
Yeah.
Not like a real technical stuff, marriage.
I feel the same. The other stuff, it's like, it makes me feel weird and it's almost like, I don't want someone to be with me because they're stuck. Because it's going to be a nightmare to get out. Like, you be with me every fucking day.
It costs so much money.
You love me because you want me. Yes. And everyone gives. I don't care how amazing and loving and respectful somebody is. When it comes to divorce time, people are fucking petty psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it. I have never heard of a nice, easy, amicable divorce. No, it's not a thing. Yeah. And if it is, God bless you guys. Right. Like, wow.
Glad that y'all are the 1%.
Yeah. No, people get really weird. So I feel the same. I think it's something that could really be redefined, especially with this generation, this like our generation and the one behind us, whatever fucking one that is, like everyone's doing things differently and redefining things and making shit work for us instead of the weird old like little boxes. All right. I'm going to do one more question for you and then we will wrap it up. So I ask everybody this question. What is your dream creation zone? You have literally no constraints, physics, science. You could be under the water on the moon, but like you're under the water and there's like electricity, whatever the fuck you want to be, wherever you want to be, you can be there. And that is your nice little safe zone, inspiration, space for creating music, art, whatever.
Oh man, I would want to be in the clouds. Like, you know, when the airplane finally breaks through the clouds and it's just like cruising for a while and you just looks like, it looks like the whole earth is covered with clouds, but there's just like, it's clear and there's the sun and you might see the moon. I would just be chilling up there because I always get stupid emotional when I'm on an airplane. I always get really, I just always have this really dramatic R&B ass moment where I'm like staring at the plane window and like I get hella teary eyed and I'm just like, bruh, like I'm really doing what I love and like I'm on a plane right now because I'm so blessed to have the money to pay for the ability to travel. I'm probably traveling to work, like people want me to come, like I really made it. Like every single time I'm in the air on an airplane, I have that exact thought. And I also just remember this very specific plane ride I took with my grandma when I was little, where she was like, when people pass away, they come hang out up here. And that was her explaining heaven to me. She was like, they're all just hanging out up here. They might be hiding from you. And so I've always had these little funny moments where I just remember like, y'all are all just chilling up here somewhere hiding from me. And I'll meet y'all up there one day. So I want to go up there and make music.
That's beautiful. I love that. It is so pretty up there, especially when the sun's setting and it's just like all those colors. And then it's just an ocean of clouds.
And you can only get it when you're on an airplane. Like,
yep.
You know,
it's special.
Exclusive. It's a special moment.
All right. And now if you could just leave everybody off with any special thoughts, words, advice you may have for anyone in life.
I just want to say that if you are in a situation where you are scared to come out, I know that the online world is such a scary place, but believe it or not, there are a lot of people waiting to receive you and love you just the way you intend. If you do decide to take that leap out, if you're having trouble at home, you may find a safe place to make friends on the internet that can truly support you. Like, it's interesting because I at the same time as I am so anti-internet, I'm also so thankful for it's what it's given to our generation as far as like being able to connect with each other, being able to learn from each other, being able to create community when we're unable to be physically around each other. So truly just like know that there's more people in the world waiting to love you than you think and waiting to receive you properly than you think. So put yourself out there and make some friends and like, we're waiting for you. Come to the dark side. We got cookies. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to actually just plug because we've got a She, Her, They Discord that we made and it's got all kinds of different little channels on there. So if you want to like
put me in the Discord,
come to the Discord. If you are questioning your identity, you want to talk about movies and art. If you are like an astrology gay or closeted, exploring, whatever the hell you are, whatever your pronouns are, whatever your identity is, the Discord's like really nice and cute. And like, I'm just in there chatting with everybody all the time too. And I always give them a little heads up who the future guests are. So it's like actually cute in there. But, oh yeah, and you can find that on the website.
Okay.
But anyways, thank you so much for doing this.
Wow, I just didn't even realize that my shirt's all rainbow, and I literally just now noticed it in the camera, and that was not on purpose. This was just my clean shirt, and I've been unpacking all day. But I love you too. Thank you so much for having me. I hope y'all tune into the rest of the episodes, because this is a really, really, really special, really important show, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. So I'll catch y'all on the flip side.
Okay, now we can get into the L word. Because we're going to talk about representation in media, which is important. But also, this show's fucking crazy, and you just binged the entire series.
Yeah, which is like so wild.
Like, that's some crazy shit, and also just major commitment.
Yeah.
And I know so many people, like, maybe haven't watched the L word because it's a bit older now.
Yeah.
But like, I was in high school watching that, and I was like, I think I might be gay. So
I wish I watched the L word in high school. I probably would have came out sooner.
Probably. I literally watched it like before I came out, and I was like, oh, okay. So I need you to rank your top three favorite characters.
Okay.
And why?
Okay. Ooh. Man, top three of the whole shebang. There's a lot of characters. Okay, you know what? After I've seen all of it, I fuck with Helena.
Really?
You know what? It's because her character... I mean,
the evolution.
The evolution of Helena. At first, I could not stand that bitch.
She was so fucking annoying.
But when she evolved, I was like, I fucking respect you. Like... I respect it, but she not my favorite. My first favorite is Kit. First favorite was Kit because she was really just trying to change her life. You know what I'm saying? Like, RIP to a real one. Sorry if I just spoiled that, but she was just trying to save her life. The problem is I had a lot of people irritated me in a lot of really like deep ways. And as a Taurus, like that's why they can't be in my top three, because like, they got under my skin in a way where they either they didn't grow enough for me, or they got under my skin at some point to where I was like,
you can't redeem yourself.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I love Shane. I love Shane. I feel her. But she just never got better, ever, not once. Like, it just never. She kept getting this close. And I was like, oh, she about to.
And then they turn it all the way back and she fuck it up somehow.
No, every ma'am. Time. Every time. Love Carmen. I really miss Carmen. But even then, like, she didn't have a growth either. The best thing she ever did was finally leave after the worst thing ever could have happened. But like,
yeah, my God. My fucking God. I'd still fuck Jenny.
Oh.
1000%.
And I fuck like Jenny I don't even have like a respectful RIP in my when she died, and I'm sorry that if y'all haven't watched this and y'all are watching this. But I was happy. And that says a lot.
Yes.
I was like, I've been waiting for somebody to take this bitch out. Like, I've been waiting for somebody to take her out. If Alice wasn't so messy, Alice would have been my favorite. But she got under my skin so many times because I was like, you just do too much. You don't know how to shut the fuck up.
But her obsession with Dana freaked me out a bit. Like, after that breakup, all I was right. like, you know, we've all had... That was still so fucking stupid. I can't believe they did that. But, like, really, you know... Like, I get getting crazy after a breakup or like somebody that you're so in love with.
But a cardboard like, cutout? A shrine?
No, too far. The shrine, the too sneaking far. And peeking in the windows. No, too weird.
Yeah, I don't know. But at least she got her out that terrible relationship because I think the lady killed her cat.
Oh, Tanya? Fuck Tanya.
She killed her cat.
She killed the cat. She yeah. killed the cat. 1000% she yes. killed the cat.
That's and then, my nightmare. And then was cheating on her back.
And also, she was scary looking. Like, something about her, like, she
it was the intensity.
Like, well.
It was the...
She had the crazy eyes.
Yes.
She had... I don't know if that was on purpose. Hopefully, like, it was. Because if that actress is watching this for whatever reason, I'm sorry. Wow. You look fucking crazy.
So what do you think... I'm going to ask you what you think about the new one.
Okay, I have a lot of feelings about the new one.
Okay, me too.
I'm not gonna lie. The first episode, I watched the first episode and I cried like a little bitch because this one Persian actress was on there speaking Farsi, Iranian lesbian.
Uh-huh.
I never thought I would see that kind of representation. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I would get emotional over it. Mm-hmm. But I was like, whoa, that's so fucking accurate. Also, there's like, I think LA has the, I don't know, one of the biggest populations of Iranian people outside of Iran.
Wow.
So to not have, yeah. So to not have that representation anywhere normally is like crazy. And I personally don't know very many Middle Eastern queer women.
Yeah.
Like, or men for that matter. There's very few. It's very like the community is a little funky. So when I see someone or meet someone or see the representation, I get really excited.
Yeah.
So loved that. Other than that, most of the acting sucks. The writing is confusing. Bette would not run for mayor. What?
Why was it so political?
That would not happen. Also, Tina's in New York. Why is she in New York? And like,
that's getting married to somebody. Like, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on. I can't stand Tina. And no, I wish they would stop making them like each other.
They don't like each other. They wouldn't like each other. That would never be a thing.
Put them away. Also,
would never be a thing.
I love that Angelica's gay. Her first
love. I know. I love that. She's like her little friend.
And you know what? I'm going to give Shane credit because Shane did turn it around a little bit more than usual. She gave us crumbs. And I have there predictions. What is, okay, my predictions. You ready for my predictions?
Mm.
I think that they think, okay, at the end, Shorty with the short hair, I feel like it's too easy.
Finley?
No.
Finley the blonde?
The mixed girl. The Hispanic one.
Oh, yeah. That was with that was like leaving her person.
Yes,
who
yes.
Was like dad was a pharmaceutical, whatever.
Like mastermind guy. I was trying to figure out, he in the cartel? Like what they try to tell us? Like, I feel like it's too easy for her to be getting on the plane to meet Finley. Because I feel like that's what we as the audience are like, oh, she's going to go meet who she really loves and it's Finley. But I feel like they're going to drag it out. If the writing is good, they're going to drag it out and let her go meet her actual fiance.
Talk it out properly.
And then she's going to come back around to Finley. It's going to be way more messy. Because if she just get on the plane straight to Finley and like the whole thing just is messy like that fast, then it's just...
You missed the opportunity.
You gave it to us too crazy. You know what I'm saying? Then what was this fucking
clue? Build the tension. Build the tension.
Yeah, and I hope they don't try to do Bette and Tina because, you know, we're already getting the fuck away from each other.
Yeah, I need that to not. You know what I do wish though? Because they really played Max in the original series. We don't need
justice for Max.
Justice for fucking Max.
And but where is Max's baby?
Where's Max? Where's Max's baby? I need to know. I need a follow up. I need to revisit that
with like a better lace wig. Better lace beard, because that was a
beard.
So they treated
now, the lace
armpits. They took the beard from Max and put it on Finley's armpits.
That's what it is. It's repurposed. It's Max's beard repurposed. Oh my God. The fucking budget. They had to repurpose it. I'm sad. Who is the, actually that's one other problem that I have. And I feel terrible that I don't know their name. Because I haven't watched it since it was like actually on air. But mm-hmm. The trans man character, the Asian guy
that's in the house that lives with him. I feel like I only know his name in real life and his name might be Leo, but I don't know his name on the show.
Yes. Or maybe his name is Leo on the show.
Maybe his name's one of them show or real name is Leo.
So where the fuck is his storyline? Because it almost felt like they were just like, here, we have a trans man, guys.
You know what? And they did the same. Nothing. They did the same dynamic almost as with Max, where Max was trans and ended up with a man.
Hmm.
And now he's a queer trans man as well. So I'm wondering if they were trying to like parallel in a weird way. I just also wish they would give him more of a storyline as to like who he is and like how does he get to know him? Why? How do we get to know him outside of his relationships? We only know him for his sexual encounters at this point.
that's it. We know he was on like Grindr, and that's about it. Like, you're like a trans dude professor. Like, I want to know about your life.
Right.
And like his mom, I think we knew his mom, but whatever. I just wanted more from that. And I hope they do that instead of being like, okay, let's have all of our token characters and check those off the list. Like, give it real attention and care.
Right.
You know, we should do watch parties.
Oh, we should do, we should literally try to do like some type of streaming watch party together. That would be
have
fun.
Have Edward hire us, pay us.
You know what? After we just hella dissected, we just... You know what, though? That this is a public piece of art. We are allowed to have opinions and allowed to critique it if there's something worth critiquing, okay? I believe that. But L Word, you hear this?
At least we're talking about it. Offering our services.
Yes, and we have been on the internet about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, hire us to do the... I'll do shit. We could do it.
I would love to do that. That would be fun. I know they do those things, so...
Yay, thank you so much. This was amazing.
I'll text you, friend.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning into She, Her, They. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube for video from this episode. Join us at She, Her, They on Instagram. And if you want to give me a lurk, you can find me across all social media at I Am Kittens. Yes, that's like baby cats with an S at the end. We'll catch you next time.